Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. I'm going to be talking about the blood of Jesus and some of the prophecies of the Old Testament that prophesied Jesus shedding of his blood and Jesus going to the cross and making the sacrifice, making the ultimate sacrifice by laying down his life for you and for me. And so I'm going to be looking first in Isaiah 53. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Isaiah 53. And we're going to be looking at some of the prophecies of Isaiah that were prophesied 650 years or so before Jesus Christ walked this earth and before Jesus Christ fulfilled these prophecies. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that every single prophecy prophesied by every one of the prophets in the Old Testament has been literally fulfilled up until this moment in time. And the ones that have not yet been fulfilled will be literally fulfilled at the appointed time, at the appointed time when God declares that they shall be fulfilled. And so you can trust God's word. You can trust the truthfulness. You can trust the promises. You can trust them for your life when you start to dig into God's word, when you start to study God's word and claim those promises for yourself and accept those promises for yourself. God will be faithful and true to you, and you will see those promises come to pass that you read in God's holy word. You will see those promises start to come to pass in your life that he has made for you, just as the prophecies and the promises about the life of Jesus have been literally fulfilled. They will be fulfilled also in your life as you walk with the Lord and as you mature in your walk with the Lord. Well, Isaiah was given these words to speak, and Isaiah 53, among many of the prophecies of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is the most comprehensive and probably the most profound and startling in their accuracy and startling in vision for what Jesus Christ came to this earth, for the reasons that he came to this earth, and how he fulfilled these words spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus Christ laid down his blood for you and for me. And so I have a great appreciation for the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a great appreciation for Jesus Christ, how he went to the cross for me. And many of you don't know my testimony. I've never really spoken my complete testimony on this radio broadcast, but I was a wayward prodigal son, spent a few years out there in the pig pen in California and other places, and so I was a wayward prodigal son, and I was chasing the devil, walking with the devil, living in sin, and it was by the blood of Jesus that I came back. It was by the blood of Jesus that I have been forgiven of my great sin. It is by the blood of Jesus that I have been relieved of the shame and the torment of the life that I lived, and he will do the same for you. Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient for anyone out there listening to me today. Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient no matter what you have done. Some of you are probably sitting there saying, Jim, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. God knows. But even as God knows, he also knows that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross just for you, and that he sent his son Jesus to shed his precious, perfect blood so that you would be able to claim the righteousness and know God, that you would be able to claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ and stand before God with the righteousness and the justification of his precious, holy, perfect son, Jesus Christ. And I can't begin to tell you and comprehend all of the magnificence of that transaction. I can't begin to tell you how that all came about. I can read it in God's word that Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient for all of our sins, and you just have to trust the Lord that when he says that is yes and amen, that it is true, that Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient to cover all of your sins and all of your iniquity. And he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And so you have to trust the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for your sins, just as it is sufficient for my sins. I don't carry the shame, I don't carry the sorrow, I don't carry the grief of the days when I was living for the devil. Yes, there's consequences. Yes, there's consequences that have to be lived out, and there's consequences in your life for the ways that you have lived in sin or things that you've done. There's always consequences, but you don't have to carry the guilt. You don't have to carry the shame. You don't have to carry the torment of what the devil wants you to keep reminding yourself, is that you're a nothing, you're a nobody, that you're too great of a sinner, that you're too great of a loser, that you can never amount to anything. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is not true. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are set free from that life of iniquity, that life of sin. You are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and all you have to do is claim that precious gift of that blood. It's like a Christmas tree with a bunch of gifts under the tree. If nobody ever claimed those gifts, they'd never know what was in that beautifully wrapped package. And so it is with the blood of Jesus Christ. As you claim that gift for yourself, as you accept that perfect gift of the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood that Jesus died and shed for you, then you will be free of your transgressions, you will be free of your guilt, you will be free of your sorrow and your shame. No more shackles, no more shame, no more sorrow, and you will be set free by the blood of Jesus. Well, Isaiah 53, let's take it up there in verse 3. It says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." And so the Bible tells us through the prophet Isaiah that Jesus Christ was rejected by men, and it certainly is true. As you think about the trial of Jesus Christ, he stood before Pilate, he stood before Herod, he stood before the high priest. He was innocent. He had no guilt on his hands. He had no guile. He had not done anything wrong by man's laws. He had not done anything wrong by God's laws. He was standing before them as an innocent lamb led to the slaughter. And Isaiah speaks of that. He said that he was rejected by men, and he is a man of sorrows, or he is a man of pains and acquainted with grief. And as we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Well, brothers and sisters, it might be simple for us to say, if we had been there, we would not have rejected Jesus Christ. If we had been there, we would not have been shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But the truth of the matter is, if we had been there, we would have been with that crowd shouting, "Crucify Jesus." If we had been there, we would not have understood what was happening and what God's plan for our salvation was. We would not have understood that. We would have been going along with the throng. We would have been going along with the crowd, because we too are sinners, just as all those people were. We are sinners. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. I don't want to hammer on that to make you think that there's no way out of our situation, because the good news is, the great news is, the wonderful news is that we don't have to die in our sin. We don't have to live in our sin. We don't have to die in our sin. We don't have to be condemned by our sin. And we don't have to be unjustified in our sin. We can be justified. We can be deemed as righteous by God Almighty. We can be reconciled back to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to be held captive by our sinful behavior. And Isaiah goes on to speak in verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In other words, if we had been in that crowd, we would have looked on and we would have thought he was getting what he had coming. He was getting what he deserved, that he was not the Son of God, that he was just another common criminal like the two criminals who were crucified on either side of him. We would have felt like that he was being smitten by God and that he had coming what he received. Verse 5 goes on to say then that, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The reason why he was hanging on that cross was because of our transgressions, because of our sin, because of our iniquity. That's the reason he was hanging on that cross. He was bruised for our iniquity. And that word bruised there means that he was crushed for our iniquities. And iniquity is repetitive sin that goes on, that goes deep, that runs deep. If you just sin willfully a few times, or if you sin accidentally, almost not even intentionally, that's one thing. But iniquity is deep, repetitive sin, willful, repetitive sin that goes deep. It's like the cattle going out into the pasture. They continue to walk in the same path over and over and over, and that is iniquity. It is a willful disregard for the will of God in your life. It is a willful disregard for God and his heart and how much he loves you and how much he wants to see you be blessed and see you walk with him. And so when we turn our backs on God, when we walk in iniquity and we turn our backs on God and we live in the pig pen and we go out and be prodigals and run away from God's will in our life, we are then living in iniquity. We are cutting that deep path in the pasture. And so it takes a great breaking. And Jesus Christ went to the cross because he knew the only way that we could be reconciled back to the Lord, the only way that we could be reconciled back to our God, to our Creator, was through his precious blood. That's why he was sent to this earth. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he laid down his life, was so that we could be reconciled back to our Creator God. He was bruised, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Well, we know that Jesus Christ went to the scourging post where he shed more of his precious blood. If many of you probably seen the Passion of the Christ, and you saw how much blood was poured out on that pavement there, on those stones at the scourging post. 7 different ways Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. And one of the reasons that he shed his blood was not only for your salvation, not only that you could say, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know I'm going to spend eternity with Father God and with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in heaven for all eternity. That was one precious way, brothers and sisters, that you can be justified and know that you're going to be saved, is by claiming that gift of salvation through blood of Jesus Christ. But also you can be assured that God wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. If you believe, if you ask him, ask and believe in faith, God wants to heal you not only of physical ailments, but of emotional trauma, of mental illness, of all kinds of things here on this earth. It is God's will that you heal. Now, granted, some people don't always receive healing, and you know, God is sovereign God in every situation. But if you believe and ask, that's where it starts. He may heal you. He wants to heal you. And so if you ask and you believe and you step out in faith believing and just start thanking him for your healing, because he already took the stripes for your healing, not just for your physical, but your mental, your emotional, every aspect of you. It is God's will that you be made whole in Christ Jesus, in spirit and in soul and in body. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Matthew 7:7. Knock and the door shall be opened. And so as you seek the Lord and as you seek his healing, just start thanking him. It may be small. What he gives you may be small. But as you ask him and as you thank him and you expect and you step out in faith and you believe for healing, He will grant you something, I can assure you. He will grant you something, I can assure you. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, that is the Lord God, has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Brothers and sisters, there's not one single person on the face of the earth that has not sinned. There's not one single person on the face of the earth that is righteous in the eyes of God. By his own stead, by his own stance, there's not one single person that is worthy of the kingdom of God, that is worthy of the righteousness of God. All have sinned and gone astray, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He took it all there on the cross. He took it all. When God was looking down at his Son on the cross, at one point in time, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people were mocking Jesus. They were hitting him in the face. They were casting lots for his clothing and his garments. They were making fun of him. And he said to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea how God's plan was being fulfilled through them, even allowing the devil to crucify Jesus. But God's plan is always perfect, and God's timing is always perfect. And so the iniquity of the whole world, Jesus was taking that on his shoulders, and at one point he cried out, you know, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the iniquity and the sin of the whole world was on the shoulders of Jesus Christ at that moment in time. The whole world. And the Father looked away for a brief instant, and Jesus bore the sin of all mankind as he hung there on the cross. He bore the sin of every single man, woman, and child at that place, at that time, and the sin of every man, woman, and child for all eternity, for all the future. Even now, 2,000 years later, he bore our sin. And so all you need to do is say yes to Jesus. The sacrifice has already been made. The payment, the ransom for your sin has already been made. All you have to say is, yes, Jesus, here I come. Yes, Jesus, I accept your gift. I accept it. I reach out and I take it today. There's some of you out there listening today, you've never really believed that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. You've never really understood how Jesus Christ sacrificed and gave his blood so that you could know the righteousness of God, so that you could be free of the guilt and the condemnation of your own sin. You've never really understood that. It's very simple, even though it's very deep in its revelation and in its meaning. It's very deep, but it's very simple. It's just a gift. That God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never reached out and said, Jesus, I want that gift, the door is open for you today. The opportunity is here for you today to get down on your knees and to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, here I am, a broken and a contrite sinner. And Jesus knows your heart. He knows if you're sincere. He knows everything about you, every detail of your life. And if you reach out to him today and say, Jesus Christ, I know you went to the cross for me. You shed your precious, perfect blood for me. And here I am, a broken and a contrite sinner. And if you look in your past and all you see is broken dreams and living for the devil and a bunch of iniquity that you're not proud of, and you want to be relieved of the shame and the guilt and the torment of that life, God is here for you today. The blood of Jesus is here for you today. And all you have to do is say yes to it. And God will start to mend you. He'll start to make you whole. He'll start to redeem your life. And the ransom has been already paid by Jesus Christ as he hung there on the cross and shed his blood for you. Well, in verse 10 in Isaiah 53, Isaiah says that it pleased the Lord, it pleased the Lord God to bruise Jesus. He has put him to grief, and when you make his soul an offering For sin he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, it's hard to believe that the Lord God was pleased to crush his own son. If you have a son out there, if you're listening to me today and you have a son or a daughter, you know how painful it is to see your own children suffer, how painful it is to see your own children go through trials and tribulations and suffering and sickness and illness. And yet it says that the Lord God was pleased to see him to see him bruised and to see him crushed. And the reason why is because God knew that his plan was being fulfilled. And God knew there was no other way. He'd already looked at all the men across the earth and tried to find one righteous man, and there was none. But he had his own son, Jesus Christ, there to lay down his life on the cross and to give his own life as a sacrifice, as a sheep to go to the slaughter, and to lay down his own life as a sacrifice to be reconciled back to our Creator God. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here in verse 12. It says, therefore I, God, will divide Jesus a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, thank God that Jesus Christ stood in the gap for me. Thank God Jesus Christ stood in the gap for you, and he will stand in the gap. He stood in the gap for every single person. The work has already been done. The ransom has been paid. All you have to do is reach out and take that gift. All you have to do is reach out and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I accept the payment, the ransom for my soul. I accept the payment, and I believe that the promises that you have made in your holy word, the promises are yes and amen for me this day at this time, and I accept that. And if you'll do that and confess your sins and just repent, spend some time with the Lord today in his presence, repenting of your sins and asking the Lord to forgive you, he will be faithful and true to forgive you and to lead you down that path of righteousness. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today, and I appreciate the message that God has given me to preach to you today. Many of you out there will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Notify me, get in touch with me at purepray@hotmail.com if you have done that. And I'll praise the Lord with you and get you some literature to start you on your Christian walk. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.